590, The Fan.
JD Blake and Ailish, Sports and 590 Fan. It's Killer Instinct night in Toronto. Nothing like a couple of buzzwords created probably by a PR team that have now become the mantra for an entire season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Our next guest played here for six seasons. He's scored 40 goals a couple of times in the show. No big deal. It's Steve Thomas. How's it going, man? How you doing?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing great.
Doing very well. So, yeah, just first of all, I know you're also a fan. Like, I know that you watch these games. You're down there at the arena. Our producer freaked out because you were down in his section, you know, for the Leaf alumni in the house. You get the shot of you down there. He texts us. Is he Stumpy? He's right beside me. What's your just nerve level for a night like this as a fan before we get into the other stuff?
Well, I mean, as a fan, obviously, you know, you're playing one heck of a team, a two-time Stanley Cup champ. It's time to get it done in Tampa. You don't want this to go game seven, especially against a team like Tampa, a team that's so well coached, a team that's got experience in winning cups. So I think, everyone's going to be on the edge of their seat, and it's going to be a heck of a hockey game, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are. But you just nailed something that Ailish was saying earlier in today's show, where she's like, you can't let this one go seven. Today feels like a must-win for this group. And this is it, right? They've talked about this killer instinct all year long and whether or not you can learn it, and you learn it from losing, and whether this team has it and how you don't until you do kind of thing. But what is it that you're going to be looking for tonight? Like, what is going to be the sign of, hey, these guys are ready to put away a team like Tampa Bay?
Well, I can tell you, we've suffered enough loss, so we should be in the driver's seat tonight. But
we should be amazing at this, learning from losing. Like, we've learned so much. We have multiple doctorates in losing.
Yes, I think it all stems, comes down to like a really good start, and you got to have everyone hitting on all cylinders because you know they will. I don't know if there's one thing. I think we've had scoring from our third, fourth lines, and that's super important in the playoffs. We've got John Tavares off the schneid a little bit, which I'm really happy to see. And you're getting contributions from your top players, and I think that's a formula for success. And I think that has to, obviously that has to happen tonight. But that's pretty much it. You have to know that you're going to get a good three or four good stops that are game savers. It really gives your team a good pump throughout the course of the game when you know that you've got someone back there in the net that can make that big save and give your bench a good bump. But I think it's just a positive attitude knowing that over the last five games you've had Toronto's had success against this team. And just remembering that you're a good team and just go out there and be that good team that you've been all year.
Steve, you mentioned getting scoring from the lower lines and how much that helps. In terms of setting that tone that you're talking about, how much does getting that level of toughness and physicality you'd normally expect from your depth lines, from your top guys, how much does that help set the tone early in a game?
Well, I think we saw it the other night when Matthews was getting roughed up by Maroon down in the corner, and it looked like he was willing to give it back. And then as the course of the game went on, you noticed that Austin Matthews threw the body around a little bit. And as a leader on your team, when everyone else sees your top scorer, conceivably the best player in the league, making that commitment to playing a physical style and a style that you know, maybe not everyone's used to. That's another thing that sparks your bench as well.
So I'm curious to get your perspective on stuff like ghosts and how that bleeds into a game, because one of the biggest, I think, yeah, ghosts, like, yeah, how you feel about like this stuff that like starts to haunt the arena and how that affects you as a player. Because I know that for a lot of fans, right, you see that building, and part of the reason why so many Leafs fans were excited about that Game 5 win is it's not that's just that they won, because they've been up 3-2 in a series before, right? Like, they went up 3-2 against the Boston Bruins and they couldn't close it out at home. But it's that the way they did it was they were down, they were demoralized, they weren't able to do it, and you felt the building just have that oof, that ugliness to it that happens to a team where there's a lot of pressure, and you start to feel that throughout a game. And I wonder if for this Leafs team trying to close this out on the road where it is an unfamiliar crowd, where that like that energy doesn't seep in, if that matters at all when you're on the ice.
You know what? I don't know if I believe in the whole ghost theory, but yeah, we've suffered for a number of years when our faithful Blues have been in a really good situation in a series and let it go. So, you know, I think this is a different team. I think this is a team like Toronto has not really seen in a long, long time. I think there's leadership throughout that lineup, and it's, you know, people were saying that that Jason Spezza stepped up in the dressing room before the third period started and had something to say to the guys. And, you know, there's a guy that hasn't won a cup before. There's a guy that's kind of on his last couple of years in the league. And there's nothing. And I know what that feels like. There's nothing like being in a situation where you look around the dressing room and you have a team that you think can win. And it just doesn't happen. I think that's where guys like Jason Spezza really understand. They can step up in the dressing room and make a statement, try and get some, you know, light a fire under the guys' butts. And you know, based on some of the interviews by some of the Toronto Maple Leaf players, I think that made an indelible difference in the third period for them. So I don't know about ghosts. I think it's just a matter of having that will you know, the passion and the intensity that's needed to win playoff games. And yeah, they're playing against a one heck of a hockey team in Tampa. You know, you don't win two cups in a row without having all the pieces. Granted, their team's changed a little bit over the years, but the core is pretty much the same. And going into another team's building with a hockey team that you're playing that's as good as they are, yeah, it's a daunting thing. But you know what? We have to do it. It's time the Toronto Maple Leafs do it. And you know, as a fan, I'm counting on it happening. I'm counting on watching the Toronto Maple Leafs play another three rounds after this. But it comes down to that commitment level from each and every guy and the leadership from each and every guy.
Yeah, Steve, so what it sounds like and what I agree with is that a lot of this comes into the leadership in the dressing room. And my question to you is, who has the edge on that? The Tampa Bay Lightning probably have a little bit of more experience, obviously, with winning the cup over the last 2 years, but this is one of the first times they've actually been up against elimination. Does that bode well for the Maple Leafs that they're putting them in a position that they're uncomfortable with?
Yeah, you know, but you got guys on that team, and I've coached half of them. Pretty much that don't take no for an answer. There's, you know, if the Toronto Maple Leafs are even remotely thinking that they're just going to go in there and you know, run over the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're, you know, they're really sadly mistaken. You know, I don't know who wins that you know, battle of leadership on either team, but I have to say that the Toronto Maple Leafs could be the hungrier team without that, you know, that history of success. You would think, and we touched on it earlier, that, you know, they've been in positions where they have been able to get it done, but they've fallen short. So I mean, that for me would leave a really bad taste in my mouth, and you know, that history of losing in the first round. Is a great learning curve, but going into a hostile territory like like Tampa with their fans, and I experienced that for 5 years when I was coaching there. They're great, rabid fans, and they love their team. And at certain points throughout the course of the game, they're really going to try and give their team a pump. That's a great indication for the Leafs to just try and stay on track and just play their game, and not try to do more than they're capable of. I mean, it's going to be a tough way to succeed tonight, but I think our team can do it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty inspirational even just listening to you do it, because you're like, okay, right, like this is doubt time. Usually, you kind of start to protect yourself as a Leaf fan, where you start to insulate yourself with, well, they probably can't do it. You know, it's the hope for the best but expect the worst. I think that's a lot of the approach for today. But hearing you speak on this, it is something where you're right. You're right on a lot of these different things, and it is going to be a tough out, right? Like you know it. You were with that Tampa team until 2016 on that bench. And I am curious to get your thoughts on Kucherov specifically, because that's a really good Tampa team, and I think that we know certain things to expect from them. But one of the things that's been up and down in the series for them has been his play, right? He's looked disengaged at times, and then he's looked dominant in others. And I wonder how big you think it is tonight for Tampa with Kucherov showing up as his best self, and why it is that despite the two cups, like, we sometimes still don't see that from that guy.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I would take that guy on my team any day. There's a reason why, you know, he was part of a two-time Stanley Cup team. He was a big part of it. There's a guy that does the work necessary to be successful. He's a true professional. You might not see it every single night, but there are times where, in points of the game, where you just look at some of the plays that he makes or some of the goals that he scores, and you see a guy like Alex McGillney who can make a difference in the game at any time. So you cannot let your guard down with a guy like him. Braden Point's another player like that. You know, you got Hedman on the back end. Stammer, like, all he needs is to have the stick or the puck on his stick for a nanosecond. It's in the back of your net. So the Leafs cannot let their guard down on any of these guys. They can think, oh, Kucherov, he's not that. He can't, you know, he's not the guy that's going to make the difference for them. But you know what? At the drop of a hat, he can do that. So this is like I said earlier, it's just, you know, you have a game plan, and if you're not ready to play, then there's something wrong with you. I know we're going into game six, and I'm, you know, there's an opportunity to win it in game seven, but you know, it's a flip of a coin in game seven, and I've been a part of that too, and it's awful. But the guys wearing the blue and white, they just have to know that this is a great opportunity to get by conceivably one of the best teams in the NHL. And that would be the next step in their quest, you know?
Yeah, so. And I agree with what you said, where if they can get by this team, you sort of look at the landscape of it, and I'm not trying to diminish any of these other groups. Like, Carolina has looked great. Florida last night showed a lot of resiliency coming back and scoring five straight goals. They're an offensive powerhouse, and Bobrovsky made huge saves last night too, where you go, oh, right, that guy can still play at that level. But the Leafs, just to get this team this early, to be able to hang with them, and to have that just, hey, you actually did it. You put this team away and you move forward. Like, you mentioned that you've been in those spots with teams where you knew you could win, but you didn't. Or you knew you could win and it was falling short. But what does it do when you start to feel that momentum of moving forward with a team that is very good and you close out one of these games?
Well, and that's a great question, because I've been in situations where we've gotten by a couple of top teams into the second round and think that we've won the cup, but you're only halfway there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's still potentially two games left in this series, but you can't hang your hat on the successes that you've had in the past. You always have to look forward, and you know, you're going to have to know that the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to bring their absolute A game tonight. And you're going to have to beat that A game, and that's the preparation that each individual in that dressing room, you know, have to look in each other in the eyes and say, I'm going to do this for you, and oftentimes it happens in a positive way. But you know what? At the end of the day, if they do get by Tampa, you can't rest on those laurels. You got three more rounds to go, and there's some darn good hockey teams coming up. So, I really hate the fact that I talk about, you know, going past Tampa, because this is a massive obstacle they got to get over. But at the same time, I think that they're capable of doing it.
Yeah, I don't think it's – yeah, you're right on the money. Like, everybody knows how good this team is. It's weird because you talk about, hey, you win that round and it feels like you win the Stanley Cup. And I thought about that this morning when I first woke up, or last night before I went to bed, about how, like, they haven't gotten out of the first round for so long that how is it going to feel if they just win this game against Tampa tonight versus actually winning the next round? Like, it's going to feel way better to win round one than if they were to win round two. And you don't want to get ahead of yourself, right? You don't want to start thinking about those things. And I'm sure that there's a little bit of scoreboard watching or whatever, just paying attention to what's going on in the league. But, yeah, did you ever find it difficult to stay in those moments? Like, is it hard when you have these opportunities to focus just directly on the task in front of you when, yeah, a win tonight does signify so many other dominoes?
Well, I mean, I just liken it to when I played for the New York Islanders in 1993. We made the playoffs. We had a fairly good season, and then we go into the playoffs against Washington Capitals, and we finished up beating Washington in seven games, and it was a really hard fought series. And then we go into the series against Pittsburgh, who are the defending 2-time Stanley Cup champs, and we end up beating them in Game 7 in overtime, and literally we were a young team. And we thought we won the cup. And yeah. And that's where I draw this information from, because we were only halfway there. We had a team capable of going further. We got beat in the third round by the Montreal Canadiens, who eventually went on to win the cup. But we were capable of beating that team. And who knows what happens in the final. And you know, that was the year Montreal won 10 overtime games, I think. And, you know, you just can't get ahead of yourself. You can't feel that sense of accomplishment when you've only gone through one round, two rounds. So you have to, that, and again, that's where your coaching, your leadership group comes into play, not letting anyone get anywhere near ahead of themselves and just focus on the moment you're in at the time.
We will all be very focused tonight. Good luck with your viewing experience. Good luck with the stress. Good luck with the probably coaching from the couch tonight. Good luck with even the balancing of, again, you know, a lot of those Tampa players. I hope you're sending them texts after tonight of, hey, you guys had a great run. Like, you got nothing to be ashamed of. Like, I hope Steve Thomas is sending those kind of texts to Steven Stamkos tonight. That's my hope. That's my dream. Thanks.
I hope so too.
Thanks so much for taking time for us today, Steve. This was great.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
Take care. Steve Thomas, 2-time 40-goal scorer. He scored 37, by the way, that year in 93. He was just short. He's right there, right on the doorstep. This is why Matthews needed 60, by the way, because this is like this.
By the
is
way,
what happens. This is in 59.
So if you remember when you tried to put Christopher Stieg on the spot about why the round numbers matter to guys, I went and looked at his page, and he never finished a season with a digit or with a goal scoring total that ended in 6, 7, 8, or 9. He always pushed to get there, to get to the even side of it. So something to it, even for the guys who deny it. By the way, I will say, Steve Thomas did not make me any more confident that my anxiety will ease throughout the day, because he seems just as geared up as a fan as we all do. And if that guy who's been through it is feeling that kind of energy, boy, is this going to be, what do we got, 10 o'clock to 7:30 to kill? It'll be a long 9.5 hours.
But this is so, one of the themes of today has been, who is this about, right? And whether you have to have this. Because it's when the Leafs lost to Boston and they were up in the series 3-2, I don't think that people viewed it so much as like, no one ever talks about that series as though the Leafs blew it against them, right? It was, they had a chance, but they didn't blow it. Boston was better, and they forced a Game 7 back in Boston, and Toronto's opportunity was a Game 6. This now feels like that. This now feels like you have to win one of these two games, or else it is. I thought Merrick, the way he put it, as this is an audit on the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was perfect. You listen to Steve Thomas talk about that guy. Obviously, pays unbelievably close attention to this team, has been a part of this team, knows this team intimately, and knows the other team. Again, he coached them until 2016. He was an assistant in Tampa until 2016. That's longer ago than I think is comfortable for me, but it's not long ago where he doesn't know those players, right? Like, the core of that team is one that was there in 2016. This is about the Leafs more than it is about the defending Stanley Cup champions, which is insane. Which is insane. And I needed to hear it from other people today, because I knew that that's how it is in our brains, right? But I needed to hear it from other people. Guys who played, guys who know, guys who were unbiased. That's just the way that it is. This is about the Leafs. Like, tonight is just massive. It's unbelievably huge. Steve is right. This team is different. You should have reason to believe that they're going to accomplish something here, that they are going to come through, because the talent level is different. We mentioned it before. They've been through enough losing. Like, learning from losing is donezo. They've done all their learning from losing, right? Like, 5 years in a row of losing in the first round is enough years of losing in the first round to learn that what you should need to bring tonight. And I'm incredibly fascinated. Like, part of my nerves are actually mitigated a little bit by the fact that I'm just genuinely fascinated to see how they show up for this game. Like, how they respond to this pressure and how they embrace it is going to be a real something tonight. Like, this is when I asked Steve about the ghosts, I think maybe he interpreted that as like the ghosts actually haunting this team in terms of there's a curse. I don't think that the Leafs are cursed. I mean, in terms of the ghosts, is when does that doubt start to creep in versus when does the belief start to go? And I wonder if this group, we saw that got unlocked in that last game of we're over the doubts, we're into the beliefs. And can you have that again tonight where you believe it yourself? Because the fans will believe you if you believe it.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I wondered through him and didn't get a chance to ask it is, how do you address that? Like, are you in the locker room being like, hey, guys, I know we have this history, blah, blah, blah. Do you purposely not talk about it? Is it, let's get over this hump together? Is it a superstitious code to not bring it up? Like, I wonder about how they go about that with the leadership, if that was something that Jason Spezza talked about in his little in-between intermission. Do they try to block it out? It's an interesting line that you have to toe, because you're obviously aware of it, but do you address it?
I play the Ghostbusters song. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I play that all.
Does that give you momentum? Does that fuel you going into tonight? Like, this is our chance. Or are you just like, let's not talk about it. I don't want to bring up past failures.
It's both. You're not dwelling. You're not letting the team. What was it? It was this management group, right, that came in? Or was it Burks, where they took all the pictures off the wall? They did that move. Like, they were like, nobody knows who was here before you. Like, I can't remember. Either way, that was the move that you do. And I think what is so exciting about playing for the Leafs, or what would be, is that opportunity that you talk about, where you can be the what was the thing from Game of Thrones? The breaker of chains. She's like, I'm the breaker of chains. It's like, you can be the breaker of chains for the fan base, right? You could really do that. And that's awesome. Like, you can really be so memorable and so different. I think that Where I think about ghosts and pressure and stuff like that is, I think all athletes are under pressure. They put themselves under an incredible amount of stress. They want to be able to accomplish things. They can feel when they're not performing properly. Like, you've seen it, athletes wear it all the time in different fashions. What I think is different for Toronto is more the attention that you're going to get and the ferociousness in terms of the criticism that will come your way. I really think relative to other sports, it's not that big a deal. But I think compared to hockey, if you lose in Anaheim, people go, oh, we have a hockey team? Right? Like, oh, I thought the Honda Center was for concerts. Like, I thought that's where we saw Imagine Dragons, not where the hockey team plays. So, yeah. That's the thing I always wonder for them, is when you doubt it, does it allow you? Because he just said it's hard to stay in the moment sometimes and not look ahead to what you could be when you start to win. I wonder if in Toronto it's hard to as well not to imagine what the demise looks like and how the changes could look and how the criticisms would come. That's it for me.
I don't know. A motivating factor I'd have in mind, and maybe you can't think like this, but another selling point is, hey, if you do this, you never have to hear about this again. This has been 6 years of you hearing about this. It's done. You win this game, it's over. You don't have to get asked ever again about the ghosts, about the first round playoff. Like, and if you do, you're talking a couple more years down the line of, oh, well, now you haven't won a cup or something like that. You get to kill this thing finally and just tell everyone to shut up about the first round exits.
We got to take a break because we got to go do Wake and Rake. But this is actually the mentality that scares me the most, Blake. And I've done this too because I'm doing it too. What you just did, that's what I'm talking about. When I woke up this morning and I had that thought of how different would tonight feel if they won versus how I would feel if the Leafs won a cup. I know that people would laugh at that, but it's like it's been they haven't won since 2004. Like we're following up, like it's close to 20 years of not winning in the first round. It's going to be euphoric. It's going to feel really, and those guys, even if you want to take out all the quote unquote past, it's like even for those guys, it's still five seasons of having this happen, and then to come through and do it has got to feel huge. It's got to be an incredible relief. It's got to be massive for you. So how do you not let that disengage you? Because ultimately, like, this is a sport about winning the Stanley Cup, not about winning the first round. And yet, for this fan base and for that team, there's so much pressure on this. I do wonder once if they are able to move on, how that manifests itself. I guess that's a good problem to have. That's one of them good problems.
Yes.
Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's make some money. It's the Wake and Rake. JD Blake and Ayler, Sports at 590 The Fan.
Smart takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I recently found out, I don't even want to say this, actually, maybe this is a bad idea. I saw that a brand new podcast popped up and called themselves The Wake and Rake. Were they inspired by Canada's
Little Fishy.
One? Were they inspired by Canada's number one gambling podcast? Potentially.
We should have copyrighted that while we could.
We really should have. Should have thought about that. You know what? I blame Blake for that. Blake's kind of the show dad in that regard of responsible paperwork. You know, like that's a Blake thing. Blake, please explain why you didn't patent or copyright our material.
Because I already do enough extra stuff.
Oh, wow. That's the real. See, you just proved you're the show dad because he's like, I don't do enough around here. Like, and he goes to the couch and he cracks his beer and he sits there all grumpy. Wow.
That's right. And when we're back in studio, don't forget who controls the thermostat.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. They got to figure the thermostats out in that building. Okay, so it's the Wake and Rake. A crazy slate tonight. Boy, if you're a sports bettor, tonight is a big night for you. You got four elimination games in the NHL in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you have two elimination games in the NBA playoffs. You got a Toronto Blue Jays game. You got Toronto Maple Leafs, which again, I don't know if the sports betting show is supposed to recommend against betting, but I would just say, like, don't you have enough equity in the Toronto Maple Leafs? Like, do you really need more? Do you really need more? There is no Jays game tonight. Correct. There is no Jays game tonight. I forgot about that.
Another off day.
Yeah, another off day. Sorry, I forget that.
Nailing it in.
That there's two off days in 4 days in baseball.
That's
strange, a pretty shocking thing. Nothing was rained out. This was scheduled this way. No, Jays game's actually kind of disappointing. Maybe we need a bit of a break, actually. Maybe we need a bit of a break for the Toronto Blue Jays the way that they've been playing.
They need a self-care day like Mara was saying.
Yeah, they need a self-care day like me. Tarps off, eat the custom ice cream, and yeah, be like, it's okay, you deserve it, big fella. Like, that's what they need. Okay, so then let's start with the Leafs. Let's get right into it. From a betting standpoint, if you are going to be betting this game, the Toronto Maple Leafs, +111. They are dogs tonight. The books, anticipate a Tampa Bay Lightning win. They are -132 on the money line. The totals have been pretty consistent in this series. Like, you're paying juice on the under, despite these games. Like, despite Vasilevsky not really looking like Vasilevsky at times, despite both those offenses having big moments, despite a lot of empty net goals, you're paying juice on the under tonight. -119. It's an elimination game. I figure that's a little bit heavier than before. You can get the over at +101. I guess they're accounting for the same thing that everyone usually goes to in their brains, which is, well, this is going to be tight checked. This is going to be the mistake-free hockey. Mm-hmm. Less mistakes mean fewer goals. But Ailish, like, you've been riding overs all playoffs. You're making money on playoffs, like, overs. Is this another value spot for you? It's +1.
No.
It's +101. No?
I do think that it gets me a little nervous that it's elimination. Tonight there's, as you said, four elimination games. I really do think things tighten up a bit. I predict that. I've played in elimination games. It's just a little bit more cautious, a little bit more defensive. But once again, like every time we say that with the Leafs that in Tampa, they've hit the over. So maybe it changes tonight. It won't be one that I bet, but I am intrigued of how that plays out. It's either going to be a couple empty netters because the Leafs are ahead and Tampa's trying to catch up and the Leafs keep shooting the puck down the ice, which would be kind of nice. But I do think there is something to be said about elimination games being a little bit of a tighter game.
Blake?
Well, that's an interesting thing to tee up for tonight because three of those over-unders are sitting at 6.5 and the other one's at 6 flat. So there is a lot of potential room there on the underside of some of these games. The Toronto-Tampa Bay, it has been a little empty net heavy, but four of these five games have gone over the 6.5. And we're talking 37 goals over five games. Now, some of that is, yes, empty netter, and some of that is, well, what's the whistle going to be like in an elimination game? Does the whistle tighten up? Does it loosen up? That's a tough factor to predict, given that this series and really the NHL playoffs as a whole haven't quite been officiated the way we maybe thought in terms of over-unders.
Okay, so this is what I really actually find interesting from a gambling standpoint is, okay, I don't think the league is going to change its mandate night to night, right? I don't think that they're going, well, game six is going to be different. I would anticipate the series
stays.
Well,
it's not the league necessarily. It's you as an individual referee. Like, do you want to let more go because you don't want to decide an elimination game the same way? I don't know.
No.
I haven't been an official at that level.
But we heard this during the intermission of the last game, right? Which was the first – well, I got to say, that was – you know the reffing was bad when Ron McLean went in a little bit on the refs. I went, whoa, you don't see this every day. Ron talking about the officials and not going with the protect the shield of his members. You know, he's a ref at heart. And I went, okay, then everyone agrees that this is too much. But they brought it up, how the star players, Elliot mentioned it, Mark Scheifele, Connor McDavid, those two guys standing up and saying, call the rule book. And I think that's what they're doing in this Stanley Cup playoffs, and that's what's going to end up going the entire way. Do I think that maybe you could see a little bit more like last game, game five, where the refs tighten it up a little bit down the stretch? Yes. It's what I've said I hate about a loose whistle, is that it rarely stays consistent. But given the amount of power plays in this series, I thought this was an interesting prop. Over 1.5 power play goals is +130. So that's two. It's a lot of power play goals. It's two power play goals. But at a plus number, +130, I thought that was kind of an interesting number to bring up. Also, again, looking at penalty minutes, I think is a bit of an interesting one, right? So players who are going to be on the ice for a lot of the game and trying to see whether or not they will take one. I like this, okay? I like one of these two guys. You take your pick. Anthony Cirelli and Alex Killorn. That line is going to be matched up against the Matthews line. They happen to have Michael Bunting with them again. They're probably going to play a ton of minutes. I'm just saying that the odds that in a series that is this tightly checked, where Matthews and Marner and have all the pressure on the world on their shoulders and have to come out with a huge game and a big performance and a dominant performance, might be worth a sprinkle looking at the guys that are going to be hard matched against them. I haven't seen penalty minutes for Hedman or, like, I haven't seen anything for any of the defensemen at all of the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I just thought that one was kind of interesting, especially like the Cirelli +290. They're not penalty prone players, but just given the circumstances that it might be worth a bit of a sprinkle for value, +290.
And if you're playing the kind of averages, Cirelli and Killorn both have zero penalty minutes in this yes. series and averaged close to one penalty minute per game during the regular season. Mm-hmm. Killorn had 66 mm-hmm. and 82. Cirelli had 70 and 76. So these aren't Lady Bing level players. They're checking line players who play against the toughest competition most of the time. Yeah, that's an interesting one for sure. I hadn't looked at it yet, so I don't know how heavy I'll go on it, but it's certainly an interesting one in seeing that line has not gotten a penalty yet.
Cirelli's going to play 20 minutes tonight. Like, that's just going to happen, right? And I would just say that given that it's 20 minutes plus 290 for him to take his first penalty of the series in a tightly checked game, it just seemed like, worth a little bit of a sprinkle, even though he's been a pretty responsible mm-hmm. player. Are there anything, so those are my props that I'm tracking. It's weird ones, I know, penalties, like power play stuff. But again, I'm trying to capitalize a little bit off of the idea that they're ruining hockey with all these whistles. I'm trying
there have
to
been 225 penalty minutes through five games in this series. You're not wrong to take a look at a combined 52 power play opportunities. Correct. And an average of two power play goals per game in this series. It's not like you're looking up some nerd stat or something super obscure.
This is the bully stat. It's like, hey, who's going to be the biggest bully?
Who's going to punch you? Stat. Yeah. but it's been a huge factor. 52 power plays in this series.
Yeah.
I got a couple from this game that I like. I really think the Leafs are going to come out strong, and I'm also willing it to happen. So team to score first, Leafs, minus 115. I like the idea that they get on the board first. They get a little bit of a lead. It's minus 125 for Tampa, but if you're hoping that the Leafs have a completely different first period from last time around and that they are riding whatever momentum exists or confidence coming into Tampa, to score first would be a great way to do that. So I kind of like that one as a side little bet.
That's a Ailish special heart it bet right
sure
there.
Is.
That's like the most
all about
Ailish
the heart
bets
tonight,
heart.
JD.
But I love it. Here's the thing. I love it because a lot of times your heart bets hit. Well, maybe it's confirmation bias, but it's usually maybe it's a lot of the times where I go, Ailish, this is your heart talking, and then it wins and I go, Ailish's heart over JD's
Ailish's
brain
heart.
Every time.
She
Ailish
knows.
Yeah, Ailish's heart over JD's brain 10 out of 10 times. I can't tail you on that one because I don't think it's good enough value. Like, I just think that's a coin toss one. That's like I think based on Tampa starts. Yeah, it's fun. Well, it's especially fun if you win that bet because, it means the Leafs are up. Although, is it fun to watch the Leafs with the lead in the series? I mean, it beats being down, I guess, but it's like there's no scenario in this game where I'm going, it's so fun watching the Leafs. If there's a shot total I kind of like, it's Steven Stamkos. He's been under for most of the series, but he just needs to. If he's plus money for over 3.5 shots, plus 120. I just think, again, if you're looking at the penalties and the power play and what they're trying to do and the fact that he had 5 on net last game and that they're going to come out here, they're going to play with force. Out of all the shot totals that I looked at and I liked, I thought that Stamkos over 3.5 was probably my favorite one at the plus number. Everybody's at a plus number tonight, by the way. The books have been like, we're not giving you any value when it comes to shots. We are saying you got to take a lot of them for you to win a bet mm-hmm. tonight. Like, Matthews is at 4.5 for plus 110. Marner's at 3.5. I think given the matchups they're going to face, I'm not overly keen about laying with either of those guys. But yeah, Stamkos at over 3.5 at plus money, I think is on, for my eye anyways, the better value on the board.
So one there, and if I may, my Wake and Rake pick actually comes from this game. If it's okay for me to go first. William Nylander over 2.5 shots. That has hit all five games of the series.
Blake.
He has 17 shots in the series. Mm-hmm. So averaging that clearly, we talked a lot about how with last change that Matthews line is going to see the toughest defensive assignment a lot of times, which means the Nylander lines will not have those same tough assignments. The power play factor is a thing because Nylander's on there as well. He has hit this 5 out of 5. It's over 2.5 at minus 140. So that fits in. It's one of the few that hasn't swung to a plus number at a higher shot total, JD. So Nylander over 2.5. Ailish, I asked if it was okay if I said it and if I went first. You said yes. And then you said, that was mine when I said it.
Well, that's totally fine. I was just saying that it was a great, like, I signaled that as one of mine as well. I'm not trying to mush you. I think that's a great pick. I did the research and I really liked it as well. So that's a good sign that we both like the same one.
A lot of times we'll have similar picks. And Blake, I don't think we've ever won a Wake and Rake where you went first. So it was a little, you know, Blake, the snake of you to do that.
I have almost never gone first. The sample on this is like zero.
I know. Blake's in a tough one because he picked a couple of heavy juice picks and both of them have missed in baseballs. I like this one.
You said that yesterday too. The Mariners one was not heavy juice. It was like the sixth biggest favorite of the day.
It was minus 170 on some boards.
You got to stop doing this, too, of talking like your book is the only one. And then at the break, we're talking about other places where we got better lines. Like, shop it around. I got that at minus 140 yesterday. That's not that crazy.
Positive vibes only, Blake. It's okay.
Well, yeah, tell yourself that.
Okay. All right. Positive vibes only. That's okay. We don't need to be defensive about our losses. We just move on to our next wins. Yesterday, I went back to the NBA. I'm going back to the NBA. Actually, how do you want to do this now? Reverse order? I just kind of stay in the middle. You're going to go last?
No, I think we should reverse order. Let's switch it up.
I think we're going to go reverse order. I think that what I'm going to do tonight is stick with the NBA. I liked the Bucks yesterday. It was tight. Like, honestly, thank you, Giannis Antetokounmpo, for being the person that you are. Thank you, Jrue Holiday, for closing out that game, too. I just think the Sixers need this win. I like the Sixers when they get Joel Embiid back, and they're slight favorites. I want to go with the Suns, but I've been getting burned on my love of the Suns. I'm just not overly impressed with the Miami Heat. And I know that they had that really nice win in the last game, whatever. I just think the Sixers are going to be a better team at home. They're a role player team. They've got some guys that are on that roster that I just trust more on their home floor. I think Embiid has a big one. This just always felt like a 7-game series. I love the way that the Sixers have looked with Joel Embiid, the gravity that he brings to that basketball game. So the total, I think they've caught up to it a little bit where it's at 207. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. But having Embiid back and the Miami Heat with the banged up Lowry situation, they need a lot from Jimmy Butler. Yeah, he's going to be out. Yeah, I don't trust Gabe. You know what, though? Lowry being out actually probably helps the Sixers at this point, or sorry, the Heat at this point, because he was just so hobbled. He was not himself at all in this series. I just think you need a lot from Jimmy Butler to beat the Sixers. He's given them a lot in this series. I would be looking for a little slight bit of Jimmy Butler regression. I'm going to roll with the guy, especially. I like the did you guys watch Winning Time? No, Blake hasn't watched it yet. Anyways,
I haven't yet either.
Listen, I don't feel as though I can. I think I can say spoilers for Winning Time because they're things that happened. But yeah, Magic Johnson.
I've read the books.
Yeah. I was going to say Magic Johnson did not win Rookie of the Year. And there's a scene in the show where they show Magic cares about how he's how he is against Bird, and he cares about how the media looks at Bird versus him, and it's a big storyline in the series, and it's a well-known fact. And Pat Riley uses a motivator in the championship game and tells Magic Johnson what the votes were in the MVP race to ensure Magic Johnson finds the energy to close out the game. And I view that a little similarly with Joel Embiid tonight. I think that there's going to be a little added motivation for this guy. He wanted the MVP award badly. He made it no bones about it. He said, if I don't win the MVP award this year, what else am I supposed to do? Well, you know how you make people talk about that, Joel? You go out there and you dominate. You get a big win against the Miami Heat at home in an elimination game right after people do it while Jokic is sitting on his couch at home, a la Larry Bird, and that's what you do. And so I like the parallel here. I'm rolling with the narrative, and I like Joel Embiid and the Sixers tonight on the money line.
Yeah, I like it. I actually like both favorites to close out. I know you've been burnt by the Suns a little bit.
I know. They
looked on another level last game. And
they did.
The Mavs are so reliant on not only an MVP caliber Luka game, but also really strong shooting around him. And we saw in game four how Adavis Bertans' game can go. But Bertans hit
Latvian
three
legend.
Or four on threes in game five, and they got buried too because he was the only one in support. I have a lot of respect for the Mavs, but I think the Suns are a better team, and I think, you know, the chance to close it out here.
The only thing is that that's the only series in the NBA that I've been way off on. Like, I just haven't been able to hit props in it or any, like, it's just I've been off on the Suns, and I think it's because I care about the Suns and I want them to win, and then I doubt the Suns, and I'm all over the place with Phoenix. I've just accepted that I'm emotionally invested, and when I'm emotionally invested, that's usually when I make my worst picks. Boston Bucks I've done well, Warriors Grizzlies I've done well, Heat Sixers okay when they actually announce Joel Embiid is playing versus when he actually isn't. But yes, tonight I'm rolling with that. Blake, what do you – or sorry, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm all thrown off. It's actually Ailish that's last this time.
Yeah, switch it up. So the other NHL game that I'm most excited to watch, Oilers and Kings, that series has been super
high. Oh, I can't believe you're going to touch this.
Excitement. Yep, I am.
Oh, you're going to touch
Oilers
the stove.
Oilers obviously need a win tonight against the Kings. Couple things. I really like a still a prop bet as well. It's not going to be my wake and rake, but Draisaitl over 1.5 points is plus 170. I think he's going to have a big game tonight. I really do think the Oilers are going to rise to the occasion, but what I am going to bet, which has been hitting for me all week long, is the over in this game. High scoring teams, 9 goals, 10 goals, 6 goals, and 4 goals so far scored in the series. The over is at 6.5, and I have hit that a few times this week, so I want to keep riding the high. And also, I want to watch this game, so it's a little bit of an extra emotional thing for me.
Not only this, the reason why I really like the overs in these elimination games is I think that some of these coaches are going to end up being even more aggressive. They do end up down a couple goals. Like, I like this. I'm with you on this one. Did you see McDavid, though, at the podium at the last game?
Which aspect of it?
He said 4 goals is supposed to be enough to win a playoff game, and then he went, I guess not, and he went, we have to keep the puck out of our own net. So I got the little bit of, hey, Oilers going to try to clamp down a bit more defensively.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, he isn't wrong. But I also think that, hey, that's a nice thing for you to say, but who are you at? Like, you know what I mean? It's it's a good idea in practice. You try to keep the puck on your mat, but I'm with you like this.
Yeah, I'd take more from that if it was a team that had shown at any point this year they can keep the puck out of their own net.
Exactly.
I will say a little earlier in the Wake and Rake, I know I said that these might be tighter games, but for that one, I don't have any doubt that there'll be some empty net pulls or there'll be some high scoring moments. Maybe not as confident in like Wild Blues Leafs Lightning, but this one just screams over for me. So feeling confident, let's keep it going.
I like Blake is way more analytical with these ones where he goes like it's the Oscars grind thing or it's like stick with the process. And I think that you should stick with your process, but I am very much like I was heavy on the Oilers last game because I thought that they were going to break through. There's just so much pressure on them right now, and I'm just a little nervous about them. Like I don't like the vibes around the Oilers right now. And yeah,
for them
just
to win, they're favorites -140, and I don't see it that way at all.
No, neither do I. And I was gonna say about your Draisaitl pick, like he's getting killed in Edmonton right now because when he has not played with McDavid in this series, his numbers are he's getting cratered. And there's questions about his health right now. He's playing so bad. Like, it's one of those things where Edmonton fans are going, I'm not sure Draisaitl's healthy is their only excuse as to why he's playing this way. I also, this is a crazy take, so get ready for this one. I don't think all the Canadian teams can win. Like, I think that one of the Canadian teams has to get knocked out, and I don't want it to be the Leafs. And I think the Flames got essentially through last night. That was the big one for the Flames. They got it done. They made sure that those two wins in a row were big, big, big for the Flames, especially since, boy, the Stars' whole thing of play the most boring hockey ever and will never create an event, but will make you clench the B-holes again until the very end of the game because we'll allow no scoring either is frustrating, but Calgary's done a good job of elevating over it. I can't believe that there would be three Canadian teams that advance. And I want the Battle of Alberta so badly, but it's one of those crazy theories I have, but I really do believe in it. I really do. And so I'm kind of like, Edmonton's going to lose to my Kings, maybe tonight. Oh, Edmonton. Uh-oh.
As long as there's lots of goals scored,
bye-bye.
That's fine.
Bye-bye. Edmonton, oh man, it would be so sweet. It would be so sweet. Because then, like, if the Leafs advance, this is the only thing Edmonton has, right? Same with Vancouver and like basically all these everywhere in Canada is a loser. Like that's the thing. Everywhere is a loser. Even the Habs, they're like, we won in 93. It's like, who cares? We made it to Cup. Did you win? No, nobody won. I don't care if you guys went to Cup finals. Nobody won. The only thing they have is that the Leafs don't win either. But imagine if they did, how bad it would be. Like, I think the rest of Canada has to fold. Like, it just becomes, actually, it's like, we're just Ontario now. They secede from us so that they don't have they have to have their own news services. Like, I don't know how it works.
quick text before we go to break and bring in Craig Simpson, a betting question. So always bring them in if you have any. Good morning, guys. Does hit by a pitch not count against a pitcher's walk total? I had over 1.5 walks for Tyon yesterday, which didn't hit. He had one walk and hit one batter. Messed up my parlays. That's Sean Alpine Milk Guy.
That is that's not a walk.
I don't even know why you would think it's a walk. Like, he hits, it's a totally different thing.
Well, it's similar to the, like, does a walk count for total bases when someone is first coming to these things? It's not.
No, I know.
It's like, it's one of those things, like, yes, whip, walks, and hits per innings pitch. But logically, a hit by a pitch is the same outcome as a walk, just like a walk is the same outcome as a single. But no, you got to be careful with that. Hit by a pitch doesn't count as a walk. Walk doesn't count as a total base.
Listen, I had a guy. I had a guy in my DMs. I had a guy in my DMs recently that sent me like 1,000 messages, and I was just like, I can't believe you think I'm going to read all these. But it was him complaining about his gambling losses, and I will just say, like, listen, I get it. We're all frustrated when we lose, but the person who tries to like outsmart the books with, well, shouldn't this have counted, or it, like, you didn't read the fine print. Like, this is a you thing. This is not a books thing. You lost. Here's the thing. There's no time where you lost and you're right. You know, like, it's just not.
Mr. Blake.
It's a yes, exactly, right. But
those are fine. The two examples of that were fine print examples.
Yeah.
I read the fine print and I decided to bet at one place versus another place because of the fine print. But Sean and people like Sean, feel free to ask these questions ahead of time as well, if you have them. We're always here to answer any questions like that, especially if you're new to this. So again, Wake and Rake for today. Thursday, May 12th, William Nylander over 2.5 shots, the over 6.5 goals in Edmonton Oilers, LA Kings, and the Philadelphia 76ers on the money line. Let's win one. Let's take a break. Let's talk to Craig Simpson about if the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to win one tonight and cash in those series props that you might have placed at the very start. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.